Welcome to the Susquehanna Valley Baptist Pulpit, preaching a life worth living, abundant life in Christ. And now the message.
It is good to be here, and I was kind of caught by surprise when your pastor called me. I was glad it was not a problem or anything, but it's just good to be with you folk tonight. If you will, open your Bibles to Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Now, when I got the title, The Heart of God in the Psalms of David, that's kind of broad. But anyway, and I appreciate your message, brother. That was good. It was. And the song.
Amen.
What a message of song. A lot of Christian music today is so shallow. That's heart searching. We're going to read the psalm. It won't take that long. I am accustomed to a clock in the back, but I told my wife as long as I can remember to look that way. If I don't, just whistle out. Okay, she'll help me to remember the time here. Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother, my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I'd believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you so much. Our hearts have already been blessed through the message of song and the message from thy word, encouraged, and truly, you are good. And we praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's come out tonight. Some have come from work and perhaps even physically tired, mentally tired. But we pray that you would just give them that grace needed to listen just a little bit longer. Dear Father, as we look at this psalm, would you bring to the minds of the folk here perhaps messages they've heard from this psalm before, and may this be a feeding time. May it be a time when they can, their understanding of the truths of thy word would be enriched. And we ask that Christ would be glorified. as he has been so far in this service. And dear Father, if there is one here tonight that's never truly trusted Christ as Savior, I pray that tonight would be the night that they pass from death unto life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I look at this, got to adjust some things here. I need a little step stool up here, I think. I'm short, but anyway, I'll just stand on my tiptoes here. And it's worse. A lot of you don't understand yet. Wait till you get bifocals and just trying to focus in. But we'll get through this thing. Here, I was thinking about it. When we consider the heart of God in the Psalms of David, David wrote at least 73 of the Psalms. Perhaps more, but most will agree on that, the 73. And so 73 out of 150, that's a good number of the Psalms. And here when it says the heart of God in the Psalms of David, it does give you a lot of scripture really to look at. But when I was thinking about that, the phrase did come to my mind, that David is a man after God's own heart. That's found in the Old Testament, but in Acts 13, we read also, and it says, and when he had removed him, he raised up, speaking of Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, this is God giving testimony of David. That's not your preacher talking about one of us here that he knows. This is God giving testimony to David in his character. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. And by the way, he was 17, about 17 years old at the time. He said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. You know, if we want to consider the heart of God, I think the amazing thing is that we see in the life of David a sinner just like all of us. But he's a sinner that when God quickened him, there was a pursuit in his heart to be godly. And there was this pursuit for a close walk with the Lord. You know, we may get into some of this in a little while, but listen, if once you get saved, that I hope you understand that is just the beginning. I run into some people that to them it's okay, I've got my ticket, I'm on the train, I'm on my way to heaven, and now my life can kind of be lived the way I want to. That's a life of defeat. No, when you get saved, John 17, the Lord said, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the true God. So it's more than just sins forgiven, and we're grateful for that. And it's more than, just the fact that now I'm in the family of God. Ephesians 2 tells us that the moment I got saved, God quickened me. Amen. He gave me spiritual life, something I'd never had before. And it's through that spiritual life, now He enabled me. I have everything necessary to live a life that honors Him, but also to actually walk in fellowship with God, the God of all creation. And so when we consider this, God said, this one, this 17-year-old, he has a heart for me. In fact, he's a man after my own heart. What a testimony to have. And so, you know, when I look at that, naturally, we must first understand you can't have a heart after God unless you've truly been saved.
Right.
You say, well, preacher, that's kind of logical. It is, but some people don't realize that. You know, a church membership won't get you anywhere. Baptism won't get you anywhere. You ought to be baptized after you get saved. Baptized by immersion. You ought to do that after you get saved. But see, there's first got to be salvation. In fact, David mentions that in verse 1 of this psalm. We'll get to in just a minute. But anyway, so he said in Acts 13 that he's a man after his own heart. And he said, which shall fulfill my will? Now, see, that's the mark of having a heart for God. You know, we can talk all we want to talk and have all the different. Say, I just get tingly inside when I think about God. Well, you may have some other issues there, but it's not necessarily that you have a heart for God. Do you know how we show a heart for God? By walking in obedience to Him. By living and desiring to serve Him and please Him. You know, as you look through the life of David, there's some things that it's obvious. It speaks much of, and we see through his life. He had an absolute trust of faith in God. He believed God. 17 years old, walked out there and faced a man over 9 feet tall. A trained soldier, by the way. And all he had was a sling. Now, maybe, you know, some would say, well, that was just cocky, you know, youth. And no, he went out there and he said, I come with this sling, but I come in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to take you out. And he did. So he had a confidence in the Lord. There are other times we see that in his walk. And then also, David was a man that loved God. He says in Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord. And that wasn't as a youth. That was as a mature man now. And then also he had a love for God's word. It delighted his soul. And David was a man after God's own heart because he was a truly thankful man. You look at the Psalms that are written by David and you'll see they're filled with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the goodness of God, for the guidance of God. And we could go right on there. And then David was a man after God's own heart. You know why? Because when he sinned, there was genuine repentance. You want to see a psalm that's a genuine repentance? Go to Psalm 51. And it shows his brokenness over his sin with Bathsheba. And so, you know, we could look at some other things there. But tonight, what I want to do, I want to take Psalm 27 and I'm going to try and make it practical. Okay? Now, I've got a few more points than you, brother, but I'm going to try and make them practical anyway. Okay? I think if we could divide this psalm up really in 3 points, but in this psalm, David deals with this matter of fear. Now, I know none of you here have a problem with fear. You don't have a problem with anxiety or anything like that. I mean, after all, the condition of our government should make us all feel relaxed and comfy, shouldn't it? You know, and just this thing, if you're working and you give to a 401k, now they're saying that, you know, the stock market could crash at any time. All these different things that are going on, you know, apart from just the global situation. But still, there's a lot that can make us anxious. But here in Psalm 27, you look at that first verse, David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, I see in verses 1 through 6, he says, the Lord is the answer. When my heart fills with fear, the Lord is the answer to calm that fear, all the circumstances in life. Look what he says in verse 1. The Lord is my light. Now, I know somebody somewhere, and I don't remember who, but I know I've heard before a song, You Light Up My Life. Maybe it was by one of the Taliban. I don't know, you know. But no, seriously, think about it in a minute. It may come to you. But no, it's not that. David here testifies. He says, the Lord is my light. Do you know what that means? David recognized before him, I had no light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there we read, it says, the God that commanded light to shine out of darkness hath shined into your heart. That's an amazing thing. When there was nothing, God said, light be, and there was light. And once again, I don't know when you got saved. I was 25 when I got saved. I'd grown up around church, but I was 25 when I got saved. And I remember all the way back there, just one thing. Boy, I didn't see a vision of God or anything like that, but it was an Easter Sunday, and I went to, of all things, a Bible preaching church. But anyway, walked in. They didn't have any carpet or anything. They were in a building program, and I'd never seen anything like that. But anyway, sat there about the third row back, and this fellow started preaching, and he really didn't bring a message on the resurrection. But all I know is that through the message, there was a heavy weight of guilt on me. And I begin to understand really where I stood before God. And, you know, when the invitation came, I can remember, I thought, well, how do I know if this is really the right religion? I forget exactly what he said, but he responded there. And then I thought, what are my friends going to say? Don't worry about what your friends are thinking. Are going to say. And I'm sitting there thinking this, and he's standing up here, but it's just different things, and not so much that, but I knew I was lost. I knew I was not ready to meet God. I came forward, and the man that led me to Christ just showed me a couple of verses. I mean, he didn't have to convince me I was a sinner. My life, I knew that. And you know what? He said, all you've got to do is pray. I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. But I know I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. And you know, He saved me. He didn't make me go somewhere and learn how to pray first and all these things. He saved me. And not only that, from that moment, He changed my life. And I mean, in wonderful ways. I like the old hymn by Charles Wesley. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and in nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldest die for me? The Lord is my light. And you know what else? It's not just at conversion. He's my light every day. You know, His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you know, in a dark world, a world that's dark, darkened in sin, under the curse of sin, it's wonderful when you have the light of Christ in your life. See, it says here, the Lord is my light. And then He says, He's my salvation. And you know, it's not just salvation at the moment of conversion. He's my salvation. That salvation that will stay with me all the way through this journey here on this earth. It's that salvation that began a good work that day and is continuing in that good work in a progressive nature as far as my understanding of God's Word and Him working in my life. And then one day, either by death or the rapture, my salvation will be fulfilled. When forever, I can't even imagine this, forever I will be separated from the sin nature. Amen. Amen. You know, that excites me. I don't know about you, but that does. I don't know about you, but every day, man, I'm aware of areas when I fail the Lord and you know, just, it might not be big things, and if you were walked with me that day, it might not be things that you would see right away. I don't go out and, you know, do a lot of weird things, but still, I know what's going on inside, okay? I know what I feel inside when I get cut off in traffic. Maybe y'all don't mind that at all, but it really bothers me when somebody cuts me off in traffic. But anyway, that's just one of many things. But still, when... It's so good that the Lord deals with me about that. Amen. He's my salvation. And not only that, I appreciate what you said earlier. Do you know what? I will never be any more righteous before God than I am right now. You say, well, that's kind of cocky. No, no, it's not. I stand before God in the righteousness of Christ. You see, when I got saved, God gave Christ to be sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. God imputed all my sin to his account. And in exchange, he imputed the righteousness of Christ to mine. My daily walk can be sometimes up and down like a kite in the sky, but as far as my standing before God, it's ever secure. Yes, the Lord is my light, and the Lord is my salvation, and then the Lord is the strength of my life. Now, that little phrase there, if you look at it and really think about what he's saying, it can bless your heart. You know what? There are young fellows here, and there's some young ones around that probably and may well have already accepted Christ as Savior. But do you know, at their age, the Lord is the strength of their life. Do you know what will give a teen in this day and age, what will give a teen the strength to resist sin, the sins of our culture? It'll be the strength of his Lord.
Right.
That strength, it can enable a teen to remain pure. It can enable a teen to walk through the teen years and keep his testimony clean. And he could claim this. Paul said it this way: I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And what a joy that he's the strength of my life. But not just as a child, not just in the teen years. When we go on in life, and those early years, say the 20s, when we're married and things like that, he's the strength of our life when we start a home. He's the strength of our life when we hit the whatever the 30s would be and the 40s and things like that. He's the strength for what we need there. And then I'm here to tell you, I can give testimony that he's the strength of your life even beyond that. I know you're not going to believe this, but I'm over 50. you told us that. I was sitting there calculating. I'm older than you. By a couple of years. Yeah, you're right. A couple of decades, really. But still, do you know what? And As a pastor, I've had it's sorrow, but it's a deep blessing. As I've watched saints of God, go right down to the ready to leave this life, and watched them with the testimony that they have. And seeing God over and over give strength in those dying moments. Between 2016 and 2018, this isn't a statistic that, it's not one that any church I don't think would relish, but I buried 13 men. And that was hard. Because these weren't all old men. It started in January of 2016. One of the men had just gotten out of the military. He was killed in a head-on collision over in Ohio. We went out to pick his wife up and her mother and bring them back. Her mom had gone out to be with her. And then from then on, it was some that found out they had cancer, several with heart, and things like that. But over the course of the next 2 years, I could not believe it. And you know, I watched these different widows. And then, by the way, there were a couple of ladies as well. One of the men, his wife was in a rehab for her back. And he got up to walk out the door. And as he did, she gasped real loud for air. He turned around and she had a massive heart attack and died right there. The hospital wasn't but a block away, and they couldn't get her to the hospital in time. So just repeatedly like this. But you know what I saw? God gives strength, especially to those ladies. God gave strength. I watched them when they'd come in. If we had the funeral in the church, I've seen them come in. And that is a tough time when you see the loved one in a coffin like that. And I've seen them come in. And how the Lord would give strength in those moments. That's wonderful when he gives strength for you in your daily life. He'll do that. Oh, but it's so good to know. Here David said, the Lord is the strength of my life. It'll be the strength I need on my last day here. The strength of my life. And so anyway, down through verse 6, he talks about, he deals with the circumstances in life. And so here, to me, that's him saying that, of what shall I be afraid? Of what in verse 1? I don't have to worry about circumstances in life. They'll change. What would you do if the economy crashed? I don't really know, but if I didn't eat as much as I do now, my cardiologist would be tickled pink. But seriously, last time I went in to see her, long story, but she really helped me out. I had a heart attack back in 2018. But anyway, so the last time I went in, she goes easy on my weight. You know, I think I remind her of her dad or something. But I told her, I said, I'm on a new diet now. And she says, oh, good. I said, yeah, I eat nothing but meat. And I think she's a borderline vegetarian. So her eyes got big and my wife's telling me, don't tell her that, you know. But anyway, but seriously, you know, it's not just the circumstances in life. You look at this psalm in beginning at verse 7. He says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. And really, to me, the heart of the psalm is verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. The idea of God hiding his face is that of being in displeasure with us. But here the Lord tells him, seek my face. Hebrews 11 tells us that without faith it's impossible to please God. But it goes on to say that he's a rewarder. He rewards those that seek him. What does that mean to seek God like that? It's simple. It's the study of his word, learning to spend time in prayer, and walking in obedience to his word. And you know, as you develop that relationship with him, what that will do is that seeking God's face. When you learn to live not to please men, but to please God. And listen, when you're speaking with others, as you were saying, when you speak with others, not being mean and nasty, but you need to be clear. Sinner is not a bad word. People need to understand that they are a sinner. People need to understand that their lifestyle offends a holy and righteous God. You can have compassion. In fact, that would demonstrate compassion. You want them to know the truth. Would you want to go to a doctor that talked to you the way that some think that we ought to talk about the Lord? You know, you don't want to offend people. You don't want to come on too strong. The doctor comes out and he says, well, listen, yeah, you've got kind of a problem. You've got stage 4 cancer, but I mean, it's not that big a deal. You know, you should live long enough to get out of my office. I mean, now that's an extreme, but you understand what I'm saying? People need to know, and people need to be spoken to in Christian love and genuine, but truthfully. Amen. Use Bible terms. But anyway, here, as I read verses 7 through 10, you know what I see? Or 7 and through 9, really. There is a fear of failure. David faces the fear of failure. Have you ever thought about that? Now, see, a lot of us in our Christian attitude, or attitude about our Christianity, we just... I'm sorry, yeah. We just kind of live day to day. But you know, here David took his Christianity serious. He took his walk with the Lord serious. And he lived with this thing. There was a fear of failing in his Christian life. Peter did, didn't he? He denied the Lord. But what did the Lord do for him? The Lord came back to him and said, Peter, do you love me? And just really nailed it down that night. He didn't beat him over the head, but until Peter walked away that night following the Lord, God used him in a great way not many days after that. Here, David, we know he failed big time. But as I said earlier, he repented and turned back to the Lord. Do you know what the Lord did? He forgave him. Now, he did reap what he sowed, but God forgave him. It was after that sin that he wrote the psalm that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. His fear of failure was overcome by the fact that he knew he served a merciful God. He served a God that, even in his tough time, he served a God that really practiced the steps of the Lord are ordered by the Lord. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Don't ever think because you blew it one time as a Christian that God won't forgive you. Okay, a fear of failure, and he sees that in Christ. And then finally, just real quickly, a fear of the future in verses 11 through 14. And just the things ahead, and you look at the verses, we're out of time, but that's where he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God, the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So real quickly here, he says, of what shall I be afraid? The circumstances? A fear of failure in my own strength? Or a fear of the future? No. With God as my light, the Lord is my light, he's my strength, he's my salvation, there's nothing I need to be afraid of. And you know, as we, if we grow in our relationship with the Lord, and when our heartbeat really has a heartbeat for God, you begin to see, we'll learn more clearly, my walk depends on my relying on Him, my strength in Him. I will close with this, real, if you want to come, preacher, just listen. When we learn that John 15, I'm a branch, he's the vine. Every bit of strength I need for every day of my life flows from him. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. That's what's ours in Christ. Father?
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please write us at P.O. Box 126 541, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17112, and visit our website at www.svbcpa.org. Until next time.